It absolutely is that time. None of the voices you will hear for this next 3 hours are belongs to Buck Rising. He is out on a much deserved vacation day. Luke Panzeca, as you just heard, is back behind the glass after having a day off yesterday himself. I am Rhett Bryan from Titans Radio, joined by Amy Wells at Titans Amy on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Rhett B Tennessee. Amy, it's good to be back with you today.
Have we confirmed how much Buck actually deserves this time off? I mean, we say that, but, like, do we really know?
There
does
it is.
Does he deserve it?
There it
still
is.
Still under review.
I'm a little fiery today. Here's it's a Tuesday.
That's all right. This is good. It is good to be fiery on a Tuesday. During the Buck Rising show today, we're going to talk a little baseball here in a minute because College World Series is going on. Tennessee plays today. Vanderbilt lost last night. Updated NFL COVID protocols, how it affects your favorite team, the Titans, the NFL, and even Titans Radio in this, and we'll get to that. And then the monster NCAA Supreme Court ruling yesterday in favor of student athletes, and this is a big one, and we'll get into that later on in the show. AFC South headlines heading into the 2021 season, and in the final hour, a Titans training camp preview. Plenty to talk about today, and we are glad to be with you here on 104.5 The Zone. So the Vandy boys had a rough outing last night. You rarely see this in college baseball, and certainly in the World Series, is a pitching duel. And certainly, their opposition last night had, some good pitching between the two pitchers. I think they had 9 complete strikeouts between the two of them. But poor Jack Leiter had 15 strikeouts in this. A 2.08 ERA, gave up 4 hits and 1 run, and they lose 1-0. Tough loss for the Vandy boys.
Yeah, definitely a tough loss. You feel so bad for him because he was pitching out of his mind. He was really doing a great job. They just couldn't put any points on the board. I mean, it's so frustrating to see something like that when one guy is having a great game and you just can't get anything going. You don't even know what to say. You've just got to try again tomorrow. I mean, that's all you've got.
And the thing is, Jack Leiter's got the lineage. His father, Al, was a fantastic Major League Baseball pitcher. It just reminds you how good, and we touched on it yesterday during the show, but just how good Tim Corbin has made this program in creating a pipeline of really kind of what is equivalent to what Nick Saban does with 4- and 5-star recruits coming to Alabama to play football. I mean, Kumar Rocker, who we know his father, Tracy Rocker, who used to be the D-line coach here for the Titans, is his teammate. And you can make an argument, really, as to which one of these guys, Jack Leiter or Kumar Rocker, could be the first overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft. I think both those guys probably go in the top 5. Really do. It's amazing what these young men do. And so I feel bad for young Jack Leiter as he just pitched his heart out last night and lost to NC State 1-0. Now the Vandy boys play tomorrow night at 6 in an elimination game against Stanford. And, of course, we know what's happening today in an elimination game. The Tennessee Volunteers take on the Texas Longhorns, and that's a 1 o'clock first pitch. We keep it right here on 104.5 The Zone. We will have plenty of updates through the afternoon as things develop in that game because I know many, many folks are anxiously awaiting what happens there. So, yeah, it's exciting to see these teams in postseason play, and now both are kind of hanging on to see what happens, to see if they can go forward.
High drama in Tennessee when it comes to the College World Series. I'll tell you what, though, that Vandy Whistler, I know we talk about this a lot on this station in a variety of ways. My dog went ballistic. I watched the whole game yesterday, and my dog was losing his mind. And for the longest time, I couldn't figure out what is going on. Did he eat like a Tide Pod or something? Like, what's happening to my dog?
I sure hope Weller didn't eat a Tide
I know.
Pod. That would not be good
but
at all.
But he's freaking out, and he kept looking at me like I owed him money, and I couldn't figure out what was happening. Turns out he's been hearing all this whistling and thinks I'm trying to get his attention. He's annoyed with me. I'm annoyed now at the TV. Had to watch the rest of the game on mute.
Yeah, and apparently I've been told that there are two Vandy whistlers. So there's like...
It sounded like there was a chorus of whistling.
Yeah, well, there's been one guy in particular. I think his name is Preacher Franklin. That has been doing this for a few years now, and it is certainly a topic right here on the Zone this time of the year is that we get into the College World Series and, you know, postseason play for these guys. But apparently, and I don't know who the second whistler is, but apparently there's two of them, and I guess that it just magnifies things.
Yeah, I think he has like a sidekick.
Yeah. I don't have a strong opinion either way. I mean, you do whatever you need to do to get through a game, and if that's whistling, God love you. But, like, I have to watch the game on mute because little Weller just can't handle it. It's too much.
Yeah, I mean, and if he whistled any higher, it'd be, you know, a dog whistle situation, and then he'd be just barking.
Right,
so,
which we don't need.
Look, I do have a strong opinion. Stop whistling, please. it's plenty. It's just, you know, and I know you're there to support your team, and that's great. And you found your niche, if you will. You know, this is a much more annoying, you know, case than, you know, the cowbells at Mississippi State or whatever, but I just... Please stop.
I'll take a whistle over like a vuvuzela, though.
I mean, I would agree.
Yeah, like I don't need that like harmonica horn sound.
Yeah, the vuvuzela. You know what? That's a great point. And those things came up a few years ago during World Cup stuff.
Yeah.
And that sounds like, well, first of all, it sounds like most unlike anything I'd ever heard before.
Yeah.
But it's like a drone of like a swarm of bees coming at you or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I like the vuvuzela. I take vuvuzela over whistling.
Now, really? See, Lucas is a soccer guy. Though.
Yeah. To me, it like exemplified the sound of South Africa because they kind of came out in 2010, the South African World Cup. So I mean, it turns into white noise. It's like the cowbells. It's just white noise during a game. The whistler is the opposite of white noise. It's like a dagger in your ears.
I like that what's soothing to you is the sounds of South Africa. Well, like, that's really what puts him to sleep at night.
That's my favorite thing about like these World Cups is when like the culture of whatever the host country is kind of oozes out onto the field and into the TV product. And the vuvuzelas did that more than anything. They were polarizing. They definitely stuck around after South Africa.
I can envision Lucas having his relaxation music when it's time for him to just chill down. He's got like he's playing didgeridoos and stuff. just the soothing sounds of those kinds of
ram horn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or the big horn from Ricola. Cough drop. Ricola.
Yeah, there's an app for that.
Horn sounds. That seems like enough. It seems like we've gone too far down this road already, and it's 10:09.
But yeah, I just the whistler thing. It for us guys in radio. And gals too, our ears are trained to stuff. Like, you know, all the time, my daughter and my wife at home, they're like, what did you hear? I'm like, I hear sirens coming down the highway, like 2 miles away. Or I hear this, or I hear that. It's just, our ears are trained. So because of that, I'm kind of like Weller, your dog. That is like off the charts loud and you notice it immediately. And it's amazing. So it makes you wonder, you know, just exactly how loud does Preacher Franklin and his partner there whistle in person that you pick it up that well on a broadcast? Because, I mean, they have parabolic mics at a baseball game, just like we have for a Titans game. But, my gosh, it's unbelievable. I know, and crowd mics hanging out the booth windows or whatever. But
yeah, but it was, I mean, it felt like he was in my living room whistling. So, I mean, either proud of the ESPN sound crew for really capturing the ambiance, or
I'd like to
holy
do
a, smokes, that's a whistle.
I'd like them to do a better job and filter. Yeah. Just give me crowd noise in this thing. But, yeah, and I know, and that guy, like I said, he's been around for a long time. I don't know how he whistles that long. He's one of those now. But you know, you've heard Coach Mack whistle and get dogs' attention. You know, when we're going through the airports and seeing the service dogs that are checking everything out. He loves to do that and mess with. Don't pet the dog. Next thing you know, it's up in his lap. He's feeding it a bottle of water and whistling at it.
Yeah, and it's an impressive whistle, but it's not a sustained whistle.
It's a get your attention quick blast.
Yeah,
right.
And this is like a long
a coach's whistle.
That's right. Yeah. A coach's whistle. That's exactly right, Lucas. So, you know, as we continue on through the battles of these two Tennessee universities, again, Vanderbilt falls last night 1-0 to NC State. Young Jack Leiter, 15 strikeouts, a 2.08 ERA, a fine performance, but they take the L, and they will play tomorrow night at 6 in an elimination game against Stanford. And, of course, Tony Vitello and the Tennessee Vols take on the Texas Longhorns this afternoon at 1 in their elimination game, and we ask that you keep it right here on 104.5 The Zone for constant updates throughout the afternoon as what happens to the Big Orange in Omaha. On the way here on the Buck Rising Show, we will start down a path of what the NFL is going to look like post-pandemic. And it was revealed to us late last week what the updated COVID protocols are. And in a nutshell, if you are a member of the media that covers an NFL team, if you are a player, a coach, whatever it is involving this game, if you are vaccinated, life is going to be pretty easy. And if you are not, it is going to be a lot like 2020, and even in some cases worse. We will get to that on the other side as you listen to the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone. Really good. Highly recommend that. Hey, I failed to mention, you can check us out on Zone TV through the Twitch app. You can download that, follow 104.5 The Zone. YouTube, we have a channel there. Facebook Live, you get notifications when the shows go live. And certainly on Periscope through Twitter, Zone TV, check it out. We got lots of comments coming in. Here's Ron Slay from 3HL. Love this duo. Give me more. Now, see, that's what I love about Ron Slay. He's such a gentleman. Thank you. Appreciate that. Here's a guy who says, I love the Whistler.
Oh, well, good.
I would think he'd be in the minority, but hey, more power to you, sir.
Some glad people love whistles. Yeah.
You do. So, as we said just a few minutes ago, there were some updated COVID protocols league-wide that came down late last week. In fact, it was about the time the Titans were kind of getting finished up with their mandatory mini camp. And it's this simple. If you're vaccinated, you're going to be a little more back towards normal like things used to be. And if you're not, it's going to be difficult. And that doesn't matter whether you're a coach, assistant coach, trainer, player, media, person covering a team, whatever it is. So kind of give us a rundown of what this is, Amy Wells.
Yeah, so exactly what you said, Rhett. Your life is easier if you are vaccinated. However, the league and the NFLPA are saying we're not going to mandate that anybody get vaccinated. It is definitely a choice. But here are the things that you are going to have to think about if you are an unvaccinated player. You will have to continue to be tested daily, every single day. Unvaccinated players get tested every day. Vaccinated players get tested once every 14 days. So twice a month, if you have a vaccine, you get tested. Every single day, you get tested if you are unvaccinated. And that includes the weekends. So you're not sleeping in on a Saturday or a Sunday. You've got to go get tested no matter what. You also have to continue wearing a mask and social distancing. So whenever you're in a common space, including a weight room, any meeting rooms in the hallways, you have to wear a mask all the time and continue to social distance. You have to quarantine if you come into contact with someone who has COVID. If you are a high risk exposure, and the contact tracing says that you had contact with them, you have to quarantine. There are still restrictions when you travel, and that includes being on a separate travel plane, and then you have to quarantine in your room like you did in 2020. So while everyone else is going to get dinner with their mom, you cannot do that. You're staying in your room. Wow. You can't eat meals with your teammates. You have to continue to do the grab-and-go meals so you're not in the cafeteria and common spaces. You cannot attend outside events with more than three teammates. So you can't go to media events, sponsorship events, your foundation having events. You're not going to any of that stuff. You have to wear a mask when you go to a nightclub, which no, you're not doing that. So
and
I'm not even going to.
With 10 or more people, which every one of them is going to have 10 or more people.
Yeah. And let's all just be serious about life. Nobody is going to walk into a nightclub wearing a mask. So you're just not going to the nightclub, I'm assuming. Yep. No indoor concerts, and you have to quarantine for 5 days before the start of training camp. So after you report, you've got a 5-day quarantine, and then you can participate in activities. So not impossible to maneuver around. I mean, every team in the National Football League followed these protocols for the 2020 season, and everyone was able to perform. However, there is so much more for an unvaccinated player to think about than just learning the playbook and going on about his day. I mean, there are lots of protocols. There's a tremendous amount of choreography associated with that. You can't be in the weight room at the same time as your teammates. So you have to figure out when you can lift around when the team is lifting and when you can do this thing and when you can get your meal and where you're going to take it and how you're going to get to this city or that city, because you can't be on the same plane. You got to be on a different plane. There's so many things to figure out, not just for the individual player, but also for the staff, for coaches, for the operations team. There's a lot to think about. So, of course, it's all manageable. And ultimately, the choice to get vaccinated is just that. It's a choice. For each person, it's a little bit different. But the reality of the situation is you have so much less to think about if you are a vaccinated player or coach.
And here's the bottom line. And we'll get into the media portion of it and how it affects us on Titans Radio and anybody else that covers the team, like Buck Rising, who we're filling in for today. I'm Rhett Bryan. She's Amy Wells. Titans Radio Takeover, day two of the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone. So, yeah, you're right. Unvaccinated players, they can still participate in practice and games and those things, but at a much more rigid protocol to actually get there in terms of, like you outlined, you know, a 5-day quarantine after reporting to camp and, you know, constant testing every day. No days off of that kind of stuff. And it's this. The NFL lost $4 billion last year. They're not happy about that. They understand why it happened. You know, a pandemic happened. It's, you know, think about it. A pandemic is the only thing that has come close to stopping the NFL when we're not talking about a work stoppage. It's the first thing that retracted numbers of a salary cap in you know, over 25 years of its existence. You know, that these are the cause and effect, the ripple things that happened with a pandemic. And so they are ready, more than ready, now that CDC guidelines have kind of outlined, if you're fully vaccinated, what you can do and what you can't do. They're like, we're open for business. We are going to have fans in stands. It is going to be business as usual, as close to 2019 and prior as possible. And so you're either in or you're out. It's basically where we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you reach a point where no matter what your function is within the National Football League, you are either able to continue doing your job or you're not. And that is kind of what the league is saying with these restrictions and these new protocols. We want to give you every opportunity to do your job, whether or not you are vaccinated. Here's, what did I read? 8 different things, right? 8 or 9 different reasons why you should probably just get vaccinated.
And look, like, for those who have reservations about it, and some have some seriously valid, you know,
legitimate
reasons,
concerns.
For
yes.
I get that. Cole Beasley, the receiver for the Bills, has been very outspoken about this and went on a platform this weekend about it, basically, after this stuff came out. But at what point do you make it hard for your team and your organization, as you outlined? Because I felt so bad for Brent Akers, Chris Matusek, and Luke, and all those guys over there, John Albertson, the fine security staff, all the stuff they had to do to get this team ready to play football games and to have practice. And, you know, you heard it multiple times throughout the year. Coach Vrabel, John Robinson, Amy Adams Strunk, all giving those guys high praise because they worked their rear ends off to create the workarounds they needed in terms of social distancing, masks, whatever, to be able to operate on a day-to-day basis. Now you're at a point where some of this can be loosened up. I don't pretend to know how many Titans players are vaccinated and how many aren't. I think there was a report came out last week that three teams had over 70% of their players vaccinated. The rest of the league is kind of a Duke's mixture.
Yep.
But, you know, where do you get to the point where it's like, I'm hurting my team. Let me just go ahead and do this. And if you're doing a two-shot deal, you're up against it right now.
Right.
Because we've, you know, we did the two-shot deal, Titans Radio did, and you're take your first one, it's basically a month till you have your next one, and then when you have the second and final shot, it's 2 weeks until you're fully vaccinated. So it's a six-week window, basically.
And it is June 22nd right now.
And training camp starts, what, July 27th, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
So, I mean, you're less, you know, just a shade over a month in this. So that's where kind of, you know, the rubber meets the road, if you will, is do you just bend and go, you know what, I should probably just go ahead and do this.
Well, and there is a threshold, which off the top of my head, I want to say it's 80%, but that might not even, it might not even be that high. But there is a threshold to which once a certain percentage of a team is vaccinated, then they can kind of lift the restrictions on everybody. The problem with that is if everybody is waiting around for everybody else to get the shot, nobody gets the shot.
And that's
the reality of the real world as well. All of these places that when we reach a certain percentage point, we then have herd immunity.
Right.
Or we are able to reopen the world.
Right.
And if everybody.
Same thing applies.
Exactly.
Right, on a smaller scale.
If everybody's looking around saying, well, once everyone else gets the shot, I won't need it, so it won't be a big deal. Well, if everybody has that mindset, no one gets the shot, and we continue to live in the world that we live in.
Look,
so,
I don't know what reason you did it, but I'll put myself out there. I did it because not only did I want some kind of normalcy to return, but I know there are those that are higher risk who can't get it, whatever it is. You know, I've heard arguments that people with autoimmune disorders can get it. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the radio. I'm not that smart. But I just wanted to be considerate of others who maybe can't get it for whatever reason. And just to try to increase that, like you said, herd immunity number so that we can kind of try to return to normal if we can. It wasn't any sacrifice on my part. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you, this is the reason I did it. You know, it's the reason Titans Radio, we kind of all had the same feeling and generally that we're all vaccinated. Let's go do this.
Right. And it makes life easier. And for a lot of these teams, they are trying to limit whatever distractions they can. They're trying to control whatever small, minute details they can possibly control. It is bananas the things that teams will do to try and maintain consistency and try to maintain some sort of an edge. Anything that they can control, that's what they want to control. This is something that teams can very easily control and that they can take into their own hands and say, look, if we all get vaccinated, we don't have to deal with this list of things anymore.
Which makes me think, as you listen to the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone, that's Amy Wells. I'm Rhett Bryan filling in for Buck. Lucas Panzeco, producer, is back today. We're talking about the updated NFL COVID protocols in this. And that you bring up a valid point because you're right. They're always looking for something that is consistency to try to get to a winning product. And so that brings up the next question for you, in my opinion, is do you have teams and do they have the permission of the league individually as 32 different clubs to incentivize this in a way? And it's not necessarily monetarily. We know ball players, football players are just like us. It's the little things that gets them, you know, if they know that, hey, you're going to get an extra day off if you go win this ball game this weekend. You know, they've done that. Coach Vrabel and his staff have done that for years over there. So they go like, hey, if you're vaccinated, you're going to get an extra day off of practice or a maintenance day or whatever it is an incentive. Do they dangle that out there to try to get the guys to and would that be enough to sway a guy, I guess?
Well, I don't know. And I think every individual club has an individual culture, and I think for some that would require some sort of an extra motivator. Maybe some wouldn't require some extra motivator. I think that the list of things that you have to abide by and the inconveniences that are put in place by the league with the intention of keeping everybody safe and keeping everybody healthy and on the field, I think that that alone, for me, I can't speak for any of these guys, but for me, the thought of not being inconvenienced in this way, if I was able to get out of waking up at 6 a.m. every Saturday when I want to sleep in and don't have to work or something, or if I have an off day, a victory Monday, and I have to wake up at 6 a.m. to go get tested, and someone said, look, get the shot and you don't have to do that anymore, I would be in. So I can't speak for, I am very easily bought. Like, convenience is king for me.
Absolutely.
But I think that the idea of being able to get back to some sort of normalcy without having to orchestrate your life around and entertain so many other ideas than just beating the Jags would be incentive enough for me. And I mean, Mike Vrabel even kind of said something to that point that, yeah, teams that don't have to maneuver around this stuff have less things to worry about. Is that a competitive advantage? I don't know. We're not one to make excuses or anything like that, but it is more work. It's more stuff to consider. And I think for a lot of teams and a lot of players, now that this is out, this could be a motivating factor.
We've got some comments here on Zone TV as people are chiming in about this and the updated NFL COVID protocols. It says the NFL is making it hard for the players, not the players themselves. It's not really incentives. It's punishment from the NFL. And certainly that's your opinion, and you're entitled to that. But we outlined it to begin this segment, and it's this simple. The NFL is a business. Their level of give a you-know-what is pretty plain if you read between the lines. They are back open for business. They are not losing $4 billion this year. They are moving forward. It's that simple. Let's go to Scott and Bethpage. Scott, you're on the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, guys. Y'all are doing a good job filling in for Buck. He's our daddy, but y'all can be our granddaddy and grandmother, I guess.
No. Give me aunt or something like that. Don't immediately promote me to grandma.
I'm just playing, Amy. I'm just playing. No, thanks for taking my call. Real quick, I got a question. You're talking about life getting back to normal. It looks like it's, and when I went to Knoxville the two weekends for the regional and the super regional, life was pretty normal. It just seems like, to me, it does seem like the NFL's forcing a little bit by putting these stipulations. I mean, you can put all these stipulations out there and say you're not forcing people to do it, but basically that's what they're doing. Because what they're asking these players to do is unattainable, in my opinion. I mean, they're going to choose to get vaccinated to do what they're going to do, but I don't like the way it seems like they're forcing them. But what's the difference between the NFL and what they do, other than the money? Let's take the $4 billion out of it, because I know that's the engine that drives everything.
Yes.
But take that out. What's the difference between what's going on in Knoxville or some of these other stadiums now and what's going on with the players in the NFL? I mean, and also, when you guys got vaccinated, I'm not getting vaccinated if I don't have to. But if you guys got vaccinated, are you going to have to do a repeat, like, later on, like 6, 8, 9 months? Is it going to have to be a once-a-year thing? And I'll just hang up and listen. Hey, I enjoy you guys. Thanks for going back
and
with me a little bit.
Appreciate you calling. Thank you.
I think that to start off, the difference between what's happening in the NFL and what's happening in, say, Knoxville or some other places is that the NFL as an entity has to consider what's going on in all 32 cities and states that they're in.
Yes,
it's
situation.
Not just regionally specific. So what's going on in Tennessee has to be the same level of protocols and consistency and requirements as what's happening in California or New York or Arizona or anywhere else in the country that has an NFL team. So that changes it a little bit because, yes, what is happening in one state is very different than what's happening in another part of the country. But because the NFL is over all 32 teams, they have to maintain a level of consistency, and they basically have to play to the team that is in a city that's experiencing the biggest problems. I mean, that has to be the same
sure
for everybody. So there's that. I don't think that what's being asked of players is unattainable because they've done it for the entire 2020 season. The difference is they aren't able to go back to reality, I guess, or you're not able to go back to life as we knew it in the same way that other players are if you don't have that extra layer of protection. And I think that that's what it comes down to. I don't think it's punishing people. I think it is kind of... I think for people who are looking for ease or to make their lives a little bit easier to get back to normalcy, maybe that's something that is worth striving towards.
Sure.
And so that makes it a little bit of an incentive.
Amy, it was evidenced over the weekend at the Ally 400 NASCAR race over at the Super Speedway.
Right.
42,000 people there.
And how
they're
great
is it? They're ready
to get
back and have fun. Right.
Right. It's amazing to be able to get back to some of the things that we've wanted to do. But the point isn't to punish players who decide not to do it. The point is to keep them safe. And that has been taking money out of it, taking everything out of
right.
it. The whole point of the 2020 season and beyond has been to keep players safe. And that safety goes into making sure that guys who don't have the protection within their bodies are externally being protected. They are not around the same guys because they could be carrying that virus. It's the same way that when guys have a stomach flu, and it happens all the time that some nasty, disgusting bug is going through a locker room, and as soon as a guy throws up on the training room floor, they get him out of the building because you don't want it to spread to other guys. It's
right.
the same way. The same way that you try to isolate whatever nasty stomach virus is going through a locker room, you also are trying to isolate COVID. The difference is, right now, this vaccine is a highly talked about thing, and it's kind of permeating through all of our worlds right,
right
now. But it's the same idea. We want to isolate the people who don't have the same protection as other people so that everybody is able to stay safe. And that's what it is. It's not a punishment. It's not trying to force something on people. It really, truly, and I believe this deep within my soul, is to keep everybody safe and keep guys able to perform on the field and do what we all love and want to see them do.
Because the NFL was the only one of the four major sports who actually made it through their season all the way to a Super Bowl, barely in a couple of cases, but they want to see, you know, they want to try to get all that back to normal as possible. On the way on the Buck Rising Show, we will talk about, as we wrap up hour one, what the COVID protocols are for fans. And certainly for yours truly and Amy Wells on Titans Radio and Mike Keith and our gang. As we continue, conversation is next on the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone. 1 o'clock today as we listen to the Eagles Lion Eyes right there from about 1975. That's a good one. Absolutely. Let's finish up this hour. We've been talking about the NFL's updated NFL protocols, which is a hot topic as it is, you know, somewhat divisive in public, just depending on where you are and what you do. And again, I'm not downing anybody that doesn't want to get the vaccine. That is entirely up to you.
It's a different show.
We're just telling you guys why we did it and kind of conveying what the NFL is doing going forward. Now, give us an outline here, Amy, of how it relates to fans and media.
Well, let me tell you, Red, I'm so glad you asked. So... COVID protocols as it relates to fans and media is the note that I have here. And it says, for starters, fans cannot be within 20 feet of a player or key football personnel, meaning a coach, basically,
or
general
John
manager,
yeah.
that kind of thing, mm-hmm. which means for training camp, there will be no photos or autographs with players in 2021. So that's kind of where we're standing right now in terms of that.
Mm-hmm.
The meet and greets, all of that stuff are probably off. I would be shocked if you were to walk into a Kroger and see a football player doing some sort of a meet and greet autograph signing mm-hmm. in the 2021 season. We're just not at that place yet.
Right.
For the media, vaccinated media members have access to players for in-person interviews.
Ding, 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 ding. That's big.
There's still no post-game locker room access as it stands right yep. now. And unvaccinated media members are very limited in the places they can go, meaning field access, locker room, sidelines, all that kind of stuff. But being able to have in-person interviews in any capacity is huge. I know for Rhett, the elimination of the locker room changes your workflow a little bit and kind of changes the way that you do things. For me, it changes things none percent. I don't go into the locker room, which is a different show, but I don't. And so I have many other areas in which I do my job, but all of them require another human being to be there.
Yes.
And so being able to get back to in-person interviews is just, it's like the light from the gods. It's this glorious thing. The hallelujah chorus is playing. I am so happy to be able to get back to doing in-person interviews and talking to these guys and building relationships.
Yes.
And actually getting to know them. Do you know how many people on this team I have never met in real life?
Same here.
Tons.
Just because it's been 2 years. Since
Yeah.
And I haven't talked to Jayon Brown. He stuck his head out the training room the other day to say hello. And we haven't spoken to him in 2 years in person.
Right.
And, you know, that's a kind of a weird part of it for me, too. But, yeah, for what we do, because, I mean, we're Titans Radio. We bring you audio. Hello, you know.
Right.
It's kind of important to have some good quality audio. And I'm with you. I'd love to I can't wait to do interviews with a guy coming off the practice field to talk about whatever that we're going to have on Titans Countdown on Sundays or, you know, whatever we're running content-wise for Titans Radio. This is a huge, huge step back towards doing something with some normalcy. And then I got off of an NFL conference call last week and messaged you and I said, hey, got some news.
The biggest news.
You worked all last season in what they called the broadcast moat, which was the first couple of rows off of the field in the stands, which I know you liked because of the vantage point. You could actually see all 22 a little better. But you didn't have, you know, it was, there's a trade-off there. Well, anyway, long story short, you're back on the sidelines because you're vaccinated.
Boys and girls, I am back on the sidelines, back like I never left. Pros and cons for me, because I've thought about this a little bit. Pros, I can do my job a lot better. It is much easier to get information when you are close to the people who have the information that you need.
This would be Jared Puffer.
Yes.
Longtime public relations man for the Titans.
Easier for him, easier for me. I can hear what's going on the sidelines much better. Mm-hmm. I'm closer to kind of get an idea of what's going on injury-wise. I am much more involved with the Titans team on Sundays when I am physically closer to the Titans team on Sundays. So this is all really exciting for me, and I am hoping that my sideline reports on Sundays will improve. Negatives. I can't see anything down there.
Right.
I am not the tallest person in America, and football players are a tall breed of human.
They are.
I can't see over them to see what's happening on the full field. So it means a lot more watching on jumbotrons in stadiums across America.
And then Philip Noel, our engineer, talking down talk back to your ear.
Right. And Philip telling me what's going on and, hey, did you see such and such thing?
Right.
Well, no, it's on the other side of the field. I can't see over there, Phil. Hang on.
Well, the main thing we're doing is like, hey, so-and-so kind of limped off there.
Right. Can you check on whatever, which is great. I'm so fortunate to have eyes in the sky who have a full view of the field because I just can't see over there
now,
all the time.
On this conference call, there's still limited personnel on the field between both teams.
Right.
A lot like it was last year. But so it's not going to be as many photogs and those things, I don't think. But I would think you would be one of those people the Titans would want to designate because you are the sideline reporter for their, you know, for Titans Radio.
The sad thing, Rhett.
Okay.
The quest for cup holders is ending now.
Yes.
In every stadium.
You had every cup holder available to you in the first two rows, wherever you were, right?
Well, not all stadiums had cup holders, Rhett.
Well, that's right. Because
and it became a point of contention amongst me and a variety of stadiums. I'm looking at you, Jacksonville. And It became this thing that I never thought people would care about. It was mainly just for me, but people really got involved, and I had to make my own cup holder out of snow in Green Bay. We had to get tricky with it. Well, yeah, I mean, it was the only fun thing about being in Green Bay that day.
Yeah.
But it was really something that people got behind, and so I'm sad that our quest for the cup holders is ending this way, but it's okay, guys, because we are back on the field.
That is good stuff.
And that's what matters.
Hour one of the Buck Rising Show is done, just like that. Hour two is on the way. We will go through some of the massive NCAA Supreme Court rulings yesterday that was heavily in favor of student athletes. We'll get into that. And also, we will go around the AFC South with headlines from each team heading into the 2021 season. You will not want to miss that. She is Amy Wells. I'm Rhett Bryan, filling in for Buck Rising here on the Buck Rising Show on 104.5 The Zone.